Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media sites that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message. I just want to thank you for being here this morning. Also, I want to thank our online family that watch online. I just want to say we love you. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for, like, he's turning them up. It's like, get their attention. It's good today. Are you ready for the word this morning, man? God. I was telling Mike, I'm like, can we just, like, worship the rest of the service? Like, it doesn't need to be preaching. But I feel like the Lord has something for you today. And so what you want you to do is I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to be 12 through 14. And this is Mike. Mike's awesome. He plays on the worship team. He helps wherever. Mike's going to be our scripture reading for today. So if you please stand for the reading of the word. 1 John chapter 2. Be up on the screen, or if you have it, that's good as well.
I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to the fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've laid out this such a clear path for us, that you've forgiven our sins, that you've allowed us to know you and to become strong in you and to abide in you and to overcome the evils of this world that just chase us down all the time. We pray that you would be with us and give us the discernment and the wisdom to know when to be quiet and listen to you. Pray for Pastor Neil as he unpacks these verses for us and sheds light on this subject. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
We've been in a journey in 1 John. We'll be through that throughout the year. We'll be in 1 John. We'll take breaks in between. Today we are in chapter 2, verse 12. And it gets to this point where John's kind of beat us up a little bit. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about living in darkness versus living in light. And he gets to this kind of halftime timeout where he takes a timeout and he wants to say, hold up a minute. I know you feel beat up, but I want to encourage you. It's kind of like a basketball game or a football game. And I want to read a story about a basketball game that happened on April 4th, 1983. Some of you remember this game. Some of you weren't even born yet, and that's okay. So the Houston Cougars, named the Phi Slamma Jamma, were the number one team in the nation, boasting a 31-2 record. And they were riding a 26-game winning streak stacked with future NBA legends Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. They were big and they were fast. Across them stood NC State, a ragtag group, just 25-10, barely squeaking into the tournament. Many people thought they shouldn't even be there in that tournament. They were the underdog of underdogs. They called them the Cardiac Pack. Kind of like the Cowboys, right? Every game felt like a heart attack. Close, scrappy, and never, ever pretty. In the first half, NC State shocked everyone and took the lead. But in the second, Houston stormed back on a 17-2 run. And suddenly, it was a 42-35 game, and it looked to be over. But Jim Valvano, the coach, great coach, kept telling his players in the huddles. Every time they took a timeout, he'd pull a huddle, and he'd tell them these simple words: don't give up. Don't ever give up. And they didn't. They clawed their way back, and with the score tied at 52 in the closing seconds, a desperation shot went up. It was short. But out of nowhere, a miracle happens. Lorenzo Charles grabbed it, dunked it home with 2 seconds left. Upset of the century. Final score, 54-52. Another heart attack for NC State. Stories like this remind me of how God comes in and swoops in the last second. And many of us, we are kind of waiting on the edge and we're wondering, man, should I keep moving? Should I keep going on? As the time gets closer, things get darker, things get more chaotic. Things don't make much sense. But today I hope to be like Coach Jim and bring you in and tell you, don't give up. Don't ever give up. You have faith for the finish. I hope to give you some faith for the finish. And this is why John writes right here in the middle of this beautiful letter to the churches. He's like, take a time out. Let's have a holy huddle. Okay, guys, I know it seems bad. I know you got this pressure from the outside. You got this pressure from the inside. Things seem really, really, really bad. But don't give up. Never give up. And he takes time to break down 3 categories of people. Now, many theologians think that the fathers, the young men, and the children could be like age groups, but many theologians believe it's kind of like a spiritual walk. You have people that are new to the faith, you have people that are veterans of the faith, and then you have people that are kind of in the middle, like they're fighting for their faith. And on a team, you would kind of think them as rookies, like they came in, they don't know a lot, right? But they make a lot. And then you have the veterans that have seen the scores when they're low and they know that there can always be a comeback. And then you have the people that are kind of the prime time, like the people that have that pushed the team forward. They have the strength. They still have the energy. They still have the stamina. And he's writing to these types of people, these people of faith, reminding them that they have faith for the finish and to not give up when things get really bad. Look, I don't know where you're at today. I've been praying about this message all week because I know there's people in here likely that are on the edge, that are ready to give up, that are ready to walk out, maybe on your faith, maybe on a relationship. Maybe you're ready to walk out on a job. Maybe you're ready to walk out on your life. And I want to encourage you today. You have faith for the finish. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't ever give up. There is power available to you. There is something that will happen if you just hang in and play the game out today. So we're going to break this down. We're going to look at our kids. We're going to look at children. We're going to look at fathers. And we're going to look at young men. And these truths are really for all believers. The children part, the father part, and the young men part is true of all believers. But we're going to break it down kind of in the walks of faith. So when you first come to faith, you are a child, right? You're born again, and you have one truth that you're holding on to. Jesus did something in my life. When I gave my life to Jesus, like, this is the only thing that mattered. Like, my sins are forgiven. Jesus loves me. That's amazing. I'm going to go change the world. That's all you need, right? And he's reminding those little children, he's reminding those fresh in the faith that your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. It's not for you, it's for him. It's his name that's on the line when he saves you. And he reminds him of that fact because if it's his name's sake, then what I do doesn't change what he does. My salvation is secure, like I am firm in him. Then he also says, you know him. You know him. You know him. I want to look at those 2 things. As a believer, your foundation, your salvation is the most basic thing that you have. And even that we know that we're saved by faith and faith alone, there seems to be a part of us, especially when we first get saved and we first come to Jesus, that wonders, am I really saved? Like, did this really take? Like, did he do enough for me? Because here's what I see. I see a lot of people, I even ask them, maybe 10, 15 years they've been following the Lord. Even pastors will say this if you ask them. I remember watching a video from Francis Chan. He was talking to pastors, and he asked him, if you were to die today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? And he goes, even the majority of some pastors are like, I don't know. Like, I hope so. And in us, there's part of us that wonder, like, is my salvation really, like, secure? And can I really trust in this Jesus? Can I trust in what he's did? And John is reminding the children, like, look, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Your sins are gone. They're clean. Just keep moving forward. Don't give up. Don't give in because things are looking bad. Yet so many times we try to earn his grace. We are just like children. We're trying to earn dad's approval so many times. I've been there. You've been there. It's like, if I can just do enough, if I can impress my father, then he's going to bless me. If I can impress my father, then he's going to accept me. If I can just do what I need to do for him, then somehow he's going to let me into his kingdom and he's going to forgive my sins. But my friends, it doesn't work that way. It's not what we do, it's what he does. And on the other end of that, here's where I get stuck sometimes. I get stuck in this method of like, if I don't live perfectly right, then God's going to be mad at me and he's going to throw my salvation out the window. And that's not right either. Like, we sometimes have penalties in our life. We sin, but that doesn't mean we're sinful. Like, we mess up, but God's forgiveness is greater than our mess ups. Our penalties are picked up. You know, the enemy, the devil can throw down the red flag, but Jesus comes and picks it up for you and for me. And so I want to tell you, don't let the penalties in your life keep you from moving forward to what God wants to do in your life. But yet so many people do. We carry this guilt and shame in our hearts. Here's what I know about guilt. Talked about this in men's group. Guilt is like a weight that we carry around with us. If you're dealing with guilt, you know what I'm talking about. It keeps you from moving forward quickly. It's a weight that hinders us from the faith. It's a weight that hinders us from doing what God calls us to do. We feel guilty, and then on top of that, we feel shame. And here's the thing about shame. Shame is a wall. Shame keeps us away from God and from the people that can help us get back to God. Think about Adam and Eve. What did they do when they sinned? They felt their guilt. They felt the weight of it, and they hid because of their shame. And many of us, we're living in shame, we're hiding from God, and we're hiding from other people. And God is saying, come out to the light. I'm not going to beat you up. I want to forgive you, and I want to heal you, and I want to cover you. And so salvation is the basic thing in our faith. But yet so many don't really understand it. We have this wall. And we have this weight that we can't get past. A few years ago, I got to be a part of what we call Encounter Weekend. It's like a big freedom weekend. I've been a part of a few of them. And I was there as a counselor to help these men in freedom. And so we would do these sessions. And as we walked through these sessions, many guys would get free. And many guys would like understand what God has done for them. But I had this one guy. And every time I would talk to him, I was like, hey, how did that activation go? And he's like, I don't know. It's just, there's something in the way. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. There's just something in the way. Like, I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. I can't hear anything. And I'm like, okay, like, do you know Jesus? Yes, I know Jesus. I'm like, well, then where's the block? Right? And I kept walking through him all weekend, just kept coming to him. And over, he would say the same thing. There's just something in the way. There's something in the way. I don't know what it is. And you know what it is? It's shame. Found out some things that happened. He feels shameful about it. He can't get past it. He can't give it to the Lord. Shame is the wall that keeps you from coming and experiencing God's love. He's always wanted to give you love, but you won't accept it because you're shameful. You're full of shame and you're hiding from his love. Come out of hiding. He wants to love you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to bring you in. And so don't give up. Look, young people in the faith, your salvation is secure. The world is crazy. There's things around you that you don't understand. But you can hold on to that when nothing else makes sense. And you think, man, maybe I'm still dirty. Maybe I don't know if I'm really clean or not. Maybe God doesn't really heal me. What does it really mean to be saved and to be healed? Psalm 103 breaks it down for us. We're going to read 1 through 5 and then 12. The psalmist understands the salvation and the forgiveness of sins and what that does, it automatically causes him to praise. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. And this is what he does for you. He forgives all of my sins. It says all. I love that word all. It means everything, all encompassing. All of your sins are forgiven. All of your penalties have been paid and thrown to the sea, then thrown to the side. He heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death. Redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 12, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. We are really good at trying to gather our sins up. He's tossed them, and you're chasing after them. Here's what he does. He takes them, and he separates them, and he sends them out, never to be seen again. You may be coming to the Lord, and you've already asked for forgiveness, and you're moving in that forgiveness, and you keep coming to him, God, how can you forgive me for that? And he's like, what are you talking about? I've forgiven you from that when I saved you. Just move on with your life. Walk in repentance. Stop stirring up that pot. It's done. Here's the thing we think often is that when I fail, it's done, like it's final. The penalty flag's been pulled. I fouled out. No, Jesus says, I can put you back in the game. Because, look, failure's not final. It's not. The forgiveness, it's forever. It's forever. I want to remind you, children, you're clean, you're accepted, you're chosen, you're healed, you're redeemed, you're crowned. This is inheritance. This is who you are in him. You're righteous, you're loved, and you're forgiven. I say this all the time. God does not have stepchildren. God does not have foster kids. So many of us walk around like a foster child, like, I know I'm God's child, but I don't have any rights to anything. Or I have to earn his love. That's not how God works. When you're saved, you are a son and you are a daughter. This is what he does. He clothes you. He puts a ring on your finger. He puts shoes on your feet. You are part of his household. You are a son and you are a daughter and you have an inheritance waiting for you. Stop living like a stepkid. Stop living like a foster child. Stop living like an orphan. You're his kid. And you have rights. Walk in them. Fathers. Fathers. These are the veterans of faith. These are people that have walked with the Lord for a long time. And he reminds them twice. You know him. That's all he tells them. You know him. Fathers, you know him. I think it's because they're old and they need to hear it twice. Maybe it's hard of hearing. No. What? Oh, you know him? Yeah, I know. Sorry. Meaning, look, you've been following the Lord for a long time. You've seen some things. Like you have a working knowledge of who God is. I've seen God move on my behalf. I've seen God come clutch in the last second and slam dunk a really bad ball I've thrown. Praise God he does that because I'm a horrible shot. This is God. I have a working knowledge of him. I know him. John is reminding the people here, you know him. You have a working knowledge of him. Why are you walking in fear? Why are you walking in anxiety? Why now, if you've been following Jesus all this time, you're wondering, God, do you really know what you're doing? You know his character. You know his love. You know his strength. And so you can walk in confidence and you can say, you know what? It's bad right now. Things are going crazy and the world's spinning out of control, but I can trust in God. He's the only thing that I can trust in because I know him. I've seen him work before. I've seen him do miracles. We have one right here, Orville. This week, God healed his hip. Right. No cane. Been walking on a cane for how long? Years?
30 years.
Completely healed, whole.
Yes.
I've seen eyes opened. Personally, I've seen cancer disappeared, gone. Personally, I've seen it. I have a knowledge of God. And so when things come in my life and I'm like, man, I don't know, God, is this too much for you? I'm like, well, you know what? Aren't you God? Like, I've seen you work. I've seen you come through. I've seen you provide when there's no other way that's possible, and you've come through. God's an on-time God. God comes in clutch every time. Every time. It's us that have the problem. We forget his goodness. We forget what he's done. Paul knew to trust in God in hard times. So Paul writes to Timothy in prison, 2 Timothy 1:12. And he says this, "This is why I'm suffering here in prison, for preaching the gospel. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust." This is experiential knowledge. Like, I know the one in whom I trust. I know him personally, and I'm sure. I know him, and I'm sure. Knowing God, who he is, his character, always brings surety in your life. He goes on, that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Paul, sitting in prison, says, "Timothy, it looks bad. I know I'm in prison, but I trust God. I trust him. Even if this doesn't go well for me, I still trust that he has it under control, that the gospel would be preached." And as we grow in our faith, we get a more of a knowledge of him and allows us to stand in harder things. Here's what I know about following the Lord as long as I have. The moment I have trust for something, it's like something else comes in that I need to trust him for that seems a little bit deeper, a little bit harder. But it's the experience in the past that allows me to walk forward in the future knowing that he's with me even in the present. And I'm able to walk into the deeper parts of life with him and the deeper part of spirituality with him. In my own life right now, I feel like the Lord's calling me to a deeper place with him. And I have to trust him in this deeper place. Because in the shallows, I'm in control for the most part. Now there's a stray wave and there's a stray current or a stray like tide that rolls in. But most of the time, I'm in control. But in the deep, you're fish food. In the deep, you really can't control what goes on in the deep. And God is calling right now, I believe, even this church into the deep things. I love the shoreline. When I go to the beach, I love the beach. I love the shore. I like going about knee deep, and that's about as high as I want to go. Sometimes I go up to my waist because, you know, if it's that big, it can't eat me, right? It's like, it might hurt. But I don't want to go in the deep because that's where the big things live. And that's where the current is that I can't control. But here's what I know about the deep that God's calling maybe some of you to right now, because I'm the kind of guy, like, I love the emotional part. Like, I'm Pentecostal through and through, like, charismatic. Like, I love the Holy Spirit. I love the emotion. I love all the things that go with that. Like, I can dance, and I can, like, I do it in private. Don't, you know, I'm not going to embarrass you. But I've danced a few times in public. I love to dance. I love to shout. I love to sing. I love to pray loud. I love to pray in tongues. All these things. That's me. That's like who I like to be. But I'm telling you, sometimes we associate that with our spirituality or walk with God. If these feelings aren't in my life, if I'm not getting goosebumps every time I pray, if the music's not stirring my heart, if things aren't really moving me, then we associate that with growth in my faith. My friends, that's good and that's great. Like, I want that. But what I really want is just to be in his presence and know that I'm in his presence. To know him on the deepest level of his being. And in that knowing, I can swim out to the deep end and let his current carry me where it needs to go. Last time we went to the beach, I actually swam out a little bit. And I'm like, this is fun. And about the time I turned around, because I didn't think I swam that far, and I turned around, I'm like, where is everybody? Yeah. I was going straight, but the current was pushing me that way really fast. And I didn't realize it. And maybe today you're like that. God has called you to a deeper place, and you're looking around, it's like, where am I with God right now? I don't even know where I'm at. Here's what I want you to do. Stop fighting the current. Float and let the Lord take you where he wants to take you. If you're tired and you're weary in your faith, maybe you're fighting the current. Come to him. You know him. Trust him. Trust him. Here's a responsibility as well for those that have been in the faith for a long time, fathers and mothers. Children and young believers need a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. What I mean is they need somebody to come alongside them and tell them, look, I know this looks bad, but I know a God who can take care of it because I've seen him work in the past. And Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy, and he reminds Timothy here in 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 13 of the faith that he has. And so he says this to Timothy, the young man, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Isn't that an invitation? How would you love that? Hey, endure suffering with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look, there's suffering in faith. If somebody told you there's no suffering, they're lying to you. Soldiers don't get tied up in affairs in civilian life. Preach a whole message there, I'm not going to. The athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules, and the hardworking farmer should be first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying to you, Timothy. The Lord will help you understand all these things. And he goes, always remember, always know that Christ Jesus, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. So he's reminding young Timothy, hold on to that first thing, salvation. Hold on to that. Above everything, when everything gets crazy, hold on to that truth that Jesus came in the flesh and he gave his life for you and that he was descended from David. He was spoken of. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the one that God said would redeem the world. Trust in that. Trust in that. I am suffering and I've been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. Every time people try to take out the word of God, it just gets louder. I've seen that recently. So I'm willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those who God has chosen. Why? Because he knows God and he trusts God. This is a trustworthy saying. If I die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardships, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. That's a good verse. For he cannot deny who he is. So Paul is saying to Timothy, I know who God is. I've seen his character. I've seen him work. I've been following him long enough to tell you that when things get tough and things go sideways and you're not sure which way to go, go back to him. He is the only thing that's the standard in your life. So fathers, you know him. This goes for mothers as well. Those that have followed Jesus for a long time. Look, I don't know what you're up against right now. Maybe you've been following Jesus for 30 years, 20 years, 40 years, and it's been making sense up to this point, but now it's not making sense. And you're wondering, should I even keep going with this faith thing? You know him. You know him. He is faithful. You've seen his faithfulness over and over and over. Anytime I've wanted to walk out of my faith, it's his faithfulness that keeps drawing me back. He's like, Neil, don't you remember? Neil, don't you remember? Yeah, but God, this is different. No, don't you remember? It's his faithfulness. He will not deny you. And you will reign and live with him forever. Look, man, pain and rejection will come. It's guaranteed. Paul says it. Jesus lived it. And we live it today. But don't give up. Don't ever give up. Hear those words today. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Now I want to talk to the young men. John says this about them. You have overcome the evil one. You are strong. The word of God abides in you. And then again, he reiterates, you have overcome the evil one. This isn't the perfect tense. This overcome and means like a decisive victory, that it's been done and it continues to happen. It's a continuing effect. So you don't have to fight for the victory. You fight from victory, if you haven't heard that one before. Like, we have the high ground. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have the high ground. The problem is we get tempted to take the low ground, and then we're open to attack. And John's saying, look, keep in your position. You overcome. Stay there. You're an overcomer. Do you know that you're an overcomer? Maybe you need to say today, I'm an overcomer. It's up there if you can't read it. I am an overcomer. You are. It's beautiful. And here's the thing. It's not because of anything I did, but it's because of everything Jesus did. Young people in this room today, you're in a battle for your life. I thought I had it bad in my 20s and in my teens. But I've sat in youth group. I've talked to the kids. It's 10 times worse. You have so much outside pressure of life. People telling you who to be, where to go, how to do things, how to identify your life, how to identify yourself, live your own truth, do your own thing. God's not really God. This is the outside, intense pressure. But then you have this inside thing. And I think this is why John writes these words, young men. Because who out of all the people on earth are tempted the most? Young men. They have passion. They're tempted. There's things going on. And everything is vying for them to fall. And so John writes to young men, writes to young people in the faith. Look, you have overcome the evil one. You know him. The word of God abides in you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Because God is with you. And you don't fight alone. Romans 8:35 says this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? This is the question many people ask. And this is the answer. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Meaning when bad things happen, does God hate me? Mm-mm. I've heard that from lots of people. Oh, God's punishing me right now. I'm like, really? Are you serious? No, that's not God's punishment. Trust me. If you want God's punishment, that ain't it. Like, it's way worse. He says, that's the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is yours, ours through Christ who loved you, loved us. Who brings the victory? Christ does. Overwhelmingly, it's a runaway game. And here's why. Spoiler alert, we're going to read this in 1 John 4:4 later in a couple months. He said, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I mean, you can on your own strength. You're right. Like, I can't do this anymore. You're absolutely right. You can't. But Christ in you can help you. Christ in you can get you there. You just have to surrender to him. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You just have to lean into him and let him abide in your life. Think of this, like, it's the game of your life. You're down 10 points. You got a minute left in the game. You can't win. And then the music starts. Here he comes. It's Jesus. He's walking down. He's running down the aisle. Like, I grew up in the WWF era, so it was like the ultimate warrior running down the aisle. You know that guy? The game is won, not because you win it, because he came in it. Look, I got to go play pickleball this summer in Florida with some friends. We went down there for a conference. And he's like, hey, we're going to play some pickleball, so bring your pickleball gear. I'm like, okay. He's like, I got three other guys to come play. It'll be fun. I'm like, okay, it'll be fun. Great. Yeah, key word. And so we go to this indoor pickleball court, and these people are like, they're really good. Like, they're crazy, really good. And I'm watching them play. I'm like, we're toast. There's no way we're going to win. But I had some like, I had some surety because it was going to be four people, so I wouldn't have to play any of those really good people. I would just play the people I knew. But the thing is, my friend who picked the other two people, these other two people play professionally, and they're really good. And guess who wasn't on my team? Right, because one guy didn't show up. The other guy showed up, and so I had to play them, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to win this game. So the first game comes up, you have to put your paddles in order, and so the next guy up grabs his paddle, he's with me. I'm like, you're my partner. He's like, yes. And we start to play, we start losing really bad. And then he starts rallying, he starts getting better. He's like, oh, he's just holding up. Like, he was like hustling everybody, right? And so we start playing, but we still lose. I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm gonna win. And so then we go to the next court and we put our paddles up and I get on, I'm hoping for that guy again because he was pretty good. He wasn't there. But there was a paddle there with a guy's name on it. I pick it up and go, M. Tang. M, capital M, Tang, T-A-N-G. I'm like, M. Tang, I think you're my partner. He probably didn't come because he didn't want to be my partner, to be honest. It's like, I don't want to play with that guy. He's horrible. Finally, he comes. And he grabs my paddle. And he looks like super intense. Like super intense. And I'm like, this guy hates me already. There's no way. He's just he's just mad he has to play with me. And so we start to play, and he's really, really good, like amazingly good. And as we're playing, he's just making all the shots. He's making all the scores. Anytime I touch the ball, it's bad. But we still, like, are doing really good. And by the end of it, we're winning, and we win the game. I'm like, this is amazing. M. Tang, you're amazing. I found out that M means master. Master Tang, pickleball legend, was on my team. And I didn't win because I was good. I won because he was with me. And in your faith, you don't win because you're good or you're right or you're perfect. You win because he's with you. You got Master Jesus with you. You don't need M. Tang. You got Jesus. Young believers, all believers, I know what it's like to be at that point in your life where you just want to give in. Like, the pressure is so intense. You keep falling. You keep making mistakes. But Jesus is there and he keeps picking you up. Why? Because he's saying, it's okay. It's okay. I've paid for that penalty. I've adjusted for that. Just trust me. Let me play. Let me be your life. And he'll get you through it. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're about to give up on your faith as well. Maybe you're stuck in this cycle of sin and you can't get out. Jesus can get you out. He comes in clutch every time. If I get the worship team to come up, I'm going to have you stand. At the altar team to come up. I'm going to challenge you with something. Look, young man, it may seem like you're losing, but don't give up. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Amen. Would you stand? Hear John's words today. Little children, don't give up. You're forgiven. Your sins have been sent away. You are completely clean. Walk out of that forgiveness. Fathers, you know him. You know that what he's done in your life. You've seen him move. You have seen him work. You have experience in God. Hold on to that and don't give up because the days are growing dark. Young man, you have conquered. Because Jesus has conquered. Don't fall into sin. Don't give up because of the penalties. Don't give up because the scoreboard says something different. The game is already won. Here's the secret, guys. It's a fixed game. The refs have been paid off. You can't lose. Because Jesus is on your team. I'm going to make three individual calls for altar this morning. Make the altar team to come up. Number one is this. You're like, I got all these penalties in my life. I haven't been walking. I've been sitting on the sidelines. I haven't been in the game. I don't know if God can use me. I don't know if God cares. This today is your call. He's saying, get back in the game. Get back in alignment. You think it's bad, but I'm going to make something beautiful out of it if you just come to me. And so if that's you, I'm going to ask you to have courage and faith to come get prayer right now. Just come up and get prayer. It's going to be progressive. If you just need to recommit your life to Jesus, come get prayer. Don't wait. Just come on up right now. The second one is this. You don't have faith. You don't even know Jesus. You keep losing every game. You're losing at life. You're losing at everything. It's because you're doing it on your own. God's saying, look, I sent someone to help you. I sent someone to save you. I sent someone to redeem you. I sent someone to make you clean if you just accept him into your life. And if that's you today, you just want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to come up right now. Don't wait. Your feet will carry you. Just come up right now. And then third, if you've been following Jesus for a long time, and maybe you're having a hard time trusting him with something, we want to help you with that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Maybe you need somebody to speak the Word of God to your life today. So I don't know where you're at. You could be the one that feels like you're losing. You could be the one who just needs to recommit your life and accept the forgiveness that God offers. Or maybe you're just the person that needs some encouragement today. Just come get prayer. I'm going to pray. They're going to sing a song, and then we'll close service out. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you, God, that overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus. God, I pray that everyone understands that they are saved, that they have overcome, and that they come to know you on a deeper level. We thank you, Father, for this. So draw everyone up that needs prayer, God. Don't let them be embarrassed. Don't let them be full of shame. Don't let them be full of guilt. Ain't nobody looking at these people that are coming up and thinking poorly of them. If anything, they're going to cheer wildly because they're getting free. We thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, let them come in Jesus' name.